As I mentioned earlier in the service, we are doing 5 candles in 3 Sundays, which means today we lit 2 candles. And perhaps it may be seen as less than ideal that we're kind of rushing through the Advent candles. But what I want us to observe this morning is that the particular relationship between these 2 candles that we lit this morning, the candle of love and the Christ candle. If you remember, while we were lighting the candle of love, what was read to us? We read these words, "For God so loved the world," what did he do? Well, he sent his one and only Son. What I want us to observe this morning and to pay attention to is how these 2 candles are inseparably linked. Because this is how God shows his love for us, by sending Jesus into the world. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. If you need a Bible, there's still more Bibles on the table at the back. You're welcome to go and get one. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 are the verses that we're going to contemplate this morning. And in a moment, we'll read these 6 verses together. But first, I'd like to make a couple of observations. First of all, about the author of these words. The Apostle John wrote these words. And I want us to think carefully about who the Apostle John was. We know that the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, the story of the life of Jesus. He wrote 3 letters, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. He also wrote the book of Revelation. But think about who John was. Think about how John described himself in the Gospel of John. He described himself as the disciple whom Jesus what? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Try to capture what the significance of this, all right? Who does John describe Jesus to be? Jesus is the Word become flesh, right? He is God, the eternal God who made everything that exists, who flings stars into space, who becomes a man and lives on the earth. And here is John, who is one of his very best friends. So we have a remarkable author here. We have someone who experienced God's love in a way that I want to suggest not many other human people on this earth have ever experienced. He was right there, sitting next to God in the form of Jesus at all these different tables, watching Jesus love people, do his work. So we have this remarkable author who I want to suggest is someone who understands something about the love of God at a deeper level than perhaps you and I. I want to also notice as we come to these verses that we come to a remarkable set of verses. These verses in 1 John chapter 4 seem to be at the very heart and the very center of the whole of the letter of 1 John. And N.T. Wright in his commentary makes this observation. We seem to be at the very heart of the letter here. The words that John is going to say in these 6 verses represent the soul of what John wants to say. This is what John most wants to say in his letter of 1 John. This is really the climax. This is the high point in the letter. Everything points up to it, and everything flows away from it. This is really, really some important words that we're going to read here as we come to these 6 verses in 1 John chapter 4. And as we read it, I have an assignment for you. It's a very simple assignment, but it's a counting assignment. I want you to count the number of times the word love appears in these 6 verses. All right? It means you have to watch and count. Let's read these words together as they're on the screen here. I apologize, the purple color doesn't show up as well as it could, but where you see a blank, it's the word love, okay? Let's say these words together. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. How many times? 5 times in the first 2 verses. Okay, let's go to the next 2 verses. We say together, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. How many times? We have 4. Okay, next 2 verses. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. 4 more. How many altogether? 13 times in 6 verses. And if you extend this passage around a little beyond before it, this whole passage of chapter 4 is very intense with this word, love. What do you think John's main point is here? John has something to say about love, something that's very profound, and something that we need to capture, especially at this season of the year. Please come with me as we look at the structure of these 6 verses. I want to suggest we can look at these 6 verses in 3 parts. There's 2, 2, and 2. So here's the first set of 2 verses. As you look at these words that are on the screen, what would you say, what is John trying to say? What is the command here? What's he asking us to do? What's the main point? Love one another. Do you agree with me? Love one another. Okay, next. There you go. Let us love one another. That seems to be what he wants to say. He's got some supporting arguments, which we'll look at, but this is what he wants to say. Now I want to jump down to the last 2 set of verses, verses 11 and 12. What's the main point here? It's actually surprisingly similar, isn't it? One more click will take us. We ought also to love one another, right? So love one another, love one another. Now, what happens in between here? What is John trying to say in between? This is what he says. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I'd like to pay attention to this, to the shape of this text. Okay, we have a point here and we have a point here, which is almost exactly the same. Love one another, love one another. And then in the middle, we have another point. And it's kind of a shape like an arrow. If you read commentaries on the Bible, commentators often call this a kind of a chiastic form. There's a point A, we call it point A, and then there's a point B, and then there's a point A1, which is the same as, it's a restatement of the first point. So Paul wants to tell us, you should love one another. What is in point B here is really the foundation for our love for one another. Paul says, here is the main reason why you should love one another. And what's the main point? Because this is how God showed his love for you. And so we want to look and ask 2 questions from this text. We want to say, how is it that God loves us? How did God show his love to us? And then we want to ask the question, so what does that mean for us? How should we love one another? This is what John really wants to say to us. So first of all, what I want us to notice is the words that are associated with God's love in these middle 2 verses, verse 9 and 10. Look closely at the words that describe the kind of love that God had and how he showed his love. Right? This is how God showed his love. How did he do it? Look at this word, he sent. He sent his one and only Son into the world. Now that's a pretty easy sentence to read. And if you've grown up in Christian circles, it's something you've heard many times before. But I want us to pay attention to the reality that's underneath these words. It's easy to say God sent his one and only Son into the world. But think about for a minute, what did it cost God to do that? What is the implication in this word sent? Who is God the Son? Who is Jesus? The scriptures teach us that Jesus is God the Son. He is the one through whom nothing was made that has been made, John describes in another place, right? He is the eternal creator of the universe. And now he is sent to a tiny little human body like we have. Imagine God sent his one and only Son to become one of us, to become the creator, becomes one of his created beings. What can you imagine? The cost that's involved in that. He sent his one and only Son into the world. There's two parts to this. He sent is the verb. This is the action that God did. This is how God showed his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world. What's the reason? There's a purpose. So that we might live through him. Because here's the story of the Bible. Here's the story for all of us who are humans who live on this earth. We are under the condemnation of death and sin. And unless Jesus comes into the world, we have no hope. This is the story of Christmas. Unless he comes, we have no hope. We are dead. And so now, John says, this is how God shows his love. He sent his one and only Son so that we might live through him. Let's look at verse 10. Words are very similar. He loved us. This is how God shows his love. He loved. Why did he send Jesus in the world? Because he loved you. He loved me. He sent. We are again. He sent his Son. But he didn't just send his Son to live. He sent his Son to die. Right, he sent him to be this atoning sacrifice. This one who would endure so much evil against him as he is hung with nails on that horrible cross in order to be the sacrifice so you and I could have life. To be the atoning sacrifice so that our sins could be washed away. I'd like to go to a couple other verses just to keep going on John's theme here. How does God show his love for us? We look back at chapter 3 in 1 John and we see these words, chapter 3 and verse 16. This is how we know what love is. And now we're speaking from Jesus' point of view, the one who came. Jesus Christ laid down. He laid down his life. For who? For us. Why? Because he loved us. Right? So he lays down his life. He is hung on the cross and brutally murdered so that we could have life. And we go to some more words from John that are really have become probably the most well-known words of John from the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. These words of sent and gave are very powerful, powerful words. He gave his one and only Son that whoever believes in him should not perish. And here's the purpose, so that we could have eternal life. We who were under the sentence of death now have the gift of eternal life. Why is that? Because God so loved us that he gave. This is how God shows his love. By sending Jesus into the world to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So let's look at these words as a cluster here. Sent. God sent his one and only Son into the world. Jesus, when he was in the world, he laid down his life as an atoning sacrifice. God so loved the world that he gave. These are very, very powerful, deep, deep words that we need to appreciate. We need to feel the cost that it was for God to become one of us. And why? For what purpose? That we might live. Because we were dead. But now we have the opportunity of life because Jesus came. Because he was the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And we have this eternal life instead of eternal death because Jesus came into the world. In our world, I want to suggest that there's much confusion about the real meaning of Christmas. So many traditions, so many cultures around our globe, so many traditions have grown up around Christmas. And some of them are good traditions. Some of them are traditions that cause us to think loving and kind and generous thoughts towards the people around us and to give good gifts and be sacrificial and be nice to our kids and nice to our parents. And it does good things for us, these traditions. Some traditions, however, are deeply materialistic and self-focused. But in the midst of all of these traditions, I fear that somehow still we lose the real point, the real sharp point of the story of Christmas. Why do we celebrate this season so vigorously? And I believe that in these words, John is pressing us into the very heart of what it means to celebrate Christmas, really. And what he wants to say to us, first of all, is that God loves you. This is how God shows his love for you. He sent Jesus to become one of us at unimaginable cost to himself. But he did that. Paul and Philippians talk about God humbling himself and becoming one of us. Who could imagine it? I wonder if you know this Christmas season that God really does love you. I wonder if you feel that love that God has for you. God loves you so much that he gave. He sent. Jesus laid down his life. God's love for you is bigger and stronger than you can imagine. I wonder if you feel, if you know that love this Christmas season. But this love, just like we saw in Genesis, that God is not an intruder. He's waiting for people to respond. And so God's love will not intrude into your life if you don't want it. But there's a strong invitation to all of us to receive his love, to receive his life, to receive his forgiveness. And how does he show his love? Well, he shows his love by giving his one and only son to become like us. Pay attention to these words, okay? This is how God shows. This is how he reveals his love to us, by sending Jesus to become one of us. So as a human, we can relate to Jesus, right? He's like one of us. He's flesh and blood. He's in this body. We can use this term, love incarnate. Right? This is God's love in the flesh, in a body. We can understand it because he's one of us. The idea of God's love without Jesus is hard to grasp, right? It's too big. It's too hard for us to get a hold of. But in Jesus, we see this person who loved flawlessly, who loved the people that were around him, who loves us. So this is how God shows, he reveals his love through Jesus becoming one of us so we can relate to him. But he doesn't just come to live, he comes to die. He comes to be the sacrifice. And so he shows his love by giving his son, and his son lays down his life on the cross so that we might have life, we might have forgiveness, we might have this gift of eternal life. I quite like the text that was read earlier to us in the service about the Christ candle, the white candle in the middle. This white candle reminds us that Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God sent to wash away our sins. His birth was for his death. You catch that? His birth was for his death, and his death was for our birth. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Please listen once again to these words from John. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So how does God love us? By sending Jesus to become one of us. So what does this mean then? How should we love one another? How does this truth in these two central verses then teach us how we ought to love one another? Let's remind ourselves of these two pairs of verses. Here's the first pair. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. My friends, these words that John writes here are so profound. Please don't miss them. John is saying here, you cannot claim to know God if your life is not characterized by love. That's what he seems to be saying here. Anyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love simply does not know God, because God is love. Let's jump down to the second set of verses at the end here, verse 11 and 12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Once again, don't miss how profound these words are from John. Earlier we saw God is love. Here John says no one has ever seen God. And in between these two sets of verses, we saw this is how God shows his love for us, by sending Jesus to become one of us. We can look at Jesus' life. We can see how he loved. We can understand his love a little bit, because he's one of us. But as we receive his love, we live out his love. As we receive his love, we love him back. And we enter into this relationship of love with the Almighty God. This is why Jesus came, to show us how to do this. And then as we have this relationship of love with God, this love then gets reflected out into the relationships with people that are around us. The last phrase here, his love is made complete in us. Just look at those words. God's love is made complete in us. How can this even be possible? It is an incredibly strong statement that John makes here, and many commentators, as they're looking at this verse, want to warn us to be careful not to miss how strong these words are. That God's love is made complete in us. How does this happen? The Expositor's Bible Commentary says it this way: as God was once present in his Son, so now he is present through the community of faith. And it is in this community that love has its ultimate fulfillment. Do you catch what's being said here? Jesus was in the world for a while as a person. And in the world, he embodied God's love completely, fully, perfectly. Jesus left this world in a physical sense. He went away. Now, where does God's love live? In us, in our community, in the way in which we relate to one another. God's love is made complete in the way that we learn to love one another. It's a very strong concept. It's a very strong statement of Scripture. It's a very strong challenge to our hearts. It's a very strong challenge to our relationship. God showed his love to the world by sending Jesus. Jesus is no longer physically here. Jesus now shows his love to the world through you and me. Through you and me. This, my friends, is one of the most challenging concepts of Scripture for me. I'd like to take you to 1 John chapter 3 again, one chapter ahead of where we've been looking. Chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18. John gives some incredibly challenging, practical words about how we ought to live out the love of Jesus in our relationships together. Let's read them. 1 John 3, verse 16 says this. This is how we know what love is. We read this. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Here's the key word. What did Jesus do? He laid down his life, right? So we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. This is the exact opposite of self-centeredness. Right? Around whom does your life circle? Around whom does my life circle? Is it my own needs, my own self? Jesus came to lay down his life for us. We are called to lay down our lives for the people around us. Verse 17 gives a very practical, difficult, pointed example. Verse 17 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, here's the question. How can the love of God be in that person? Wow. How can the love of God be in that person? My friends, that's a very challenging question. John finishes his thought with these words, dear children, he says, reaching out to us as his friends. Dear children, he says, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. I have to confess to you today that this is a very challenging passage for me. So much selfishness becomes evident as I think about these words. But I invite all of us to stand in the light of John's words here, to receive this challenge, that as we receive the love from God who sent his Son, from Jesus who laid down his life for us, as we receive this love, as we love him in return, that love would then be turned to the people that are around us. And so I invite us, all of us, to consider the network of relationships that we have around us right now. What does love look like in those relationships? It can be very complicated sometimes. But we are called to receive this love from God, to love God in return, and then to reflect that love in the relationships that we have. This is a truth not just from John. It starts right back at the beginning of the Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is a dominant theme in the whole of Scripture, and it really is at the heart of what we celebrate at Christmas. Because this is how God showed his love for you. He sent his Son, who gave up his life to give you life. And now we have this challenge to turn, to receive this life, and to reflect it out to others. And so we take these two challenges from the Apostle John today. And let me say to you, perhaps you're here today, you've not yet received this true gift of Christmas, this gift of salvation, this gift of forgiveness, this gift of eternal life. This is why Jesus came, to give you that life. But it's a gift. He's not going to force it on you. It is to be received. And so let me challenge you, if you've not yet received this gift of life from Jesus, you can receive it today. It's here. It's for you. Jesus longs to call you his child. You can receive it today. Secondly, for us who are followers of Jesus, can we stand somewhere under these words that John writes in this amazing passage? Can we stand and receive the challenge into our lives? And can we really grapple with God's love for us and come to understand more and more God's love for us and return that love and really consciously put God at the very highest place in our life so that we love Him more than we love anything else? And then can we take and turn that, reflect that kind of love that He had for us to the people who are around us? Will we be a community of God's people where Jesus' love will really be seen? Jesus said to His friends, remember what He said? He said, "By this, all people will know that you're My disciples, by coming to church every Sunday." Right? By the love that you have for one another. Such a challenge. And so difficult sometimes. But let's take this challenge and press into it. Let us love not with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Father, as we come before Your word today, we are deeply challenged. We are humbled. Would You receive the stumbling words from our hearts this morning as we confess our shortcomings? We long this morning to once again place You on the very highest place in our lives and to love You more than anything else. We confess this morning any idol that's been put in Your place, anything that we've loved more than You, we confess that to You now and say, God, would You take that away? We place You on the very highest place in our lives. And we come to You and we ask for Your grace and Your strength so that we may love You well with our whole hearts, but also that as we turn to the people around us, that You will give us grace to lay down our lives and to love the people that we are in relationship with so that the world will know that Jesus came from the Father. Yeah, teach us more and more about Your love. And in this Christmas season, Lord, would You inspire us by Your love? Would You cause us to worship You because of Your unfailing love for us? Yeah. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.